also look at the Kulintakran allocation, we monitor and report the end of our coordination. Through the Division of Revenue Act, we do enforce compliance and intervention. As part of the monitoring process, we do visit provinces. Normally we do for the first quarter spending, but in the case of KZN, there's also a second round in November, and we also go for infrastructure visits. From all these things, the benchmarks, the monitoring, and then the visits, we write a report to brief the finance minister. We provide a report to the MECs, also as the budget council, also the institutional committee on finance. As well, those intergovernmental forums. Also, what we do as part of the interventions, we do provide training to provincial treasurers and officials, and also provincial departments. Looking at the adjustments that took place in 2015-16, KwaZulu-Natal got 877 million from national government. Also, they got 308 reallocation from the Human Settlement Development Fund. And I must say that because of this province performance, they have consistently benefited from the reallocation of the HSDG grants, I think 3 years in a row now. In total, they adjusted their budget by 3 billion. In terms of spending at the end of the third quarter, after the adjustment, at that time, KwaZulu-Natal had spent 73.5% and they were projecting to overspend by 302 million. And mostly this projection, it was mostly from Department of Health. And in total, there was all provinces projected to overspend. Look at the picture. Looking at that spending at that time, like I indicated, health, it was one of the first spending departments. At that time, they had spent 36.6% of their budget and projected to overspend by 344 million. And the overspending, part of it was in compensation of employees. But if you look at the economic classification actually, the province was projecting to overspend by 90.6 million and projected to underspend by 710 under Business Services. And project to overspend payment for capital for payment for capital by 1 billion. But actually it would seem like there was misclassification in transport, because most of the underspending in goods and services is from transport, and most of the projected overspending from that 1 billion was also from transport. So there was an issue of misclassification at that time. And some of the things that were coming out, the reasons, the pressure was that public policy was indicating that they were going to have pressure on property rates as a result of new properties that were being built because there were no budget for. At that time, agriculture was not spending well because they implemented their new strategic direction late, but also because of drought, it impacted negatively on their planting activities. With regards to health, they had a budget pressure on composition of employees as a result of the housing allowance increment. But even though some banks were given, the issue was because the housing allowance was increased by 300 from 900 to 1,200. Now there was an increased uptake, so health was a pressure. And also, there was an issue of accruals with respect to transfers to HFD Metro at that time. So, also, star development at that time reflected the pressure of 6% due to 6% increase in transfers to NGOs. So, looking at the expenditure at the end of financial year, KwaZulu-Natal spent 99.4% of their budget and were projected to overspend. They were overspending by 6% because this was the end of the financial year. Looking into details at that time, most departments are underspend their budget mostly because of the moratorium that is in place. So mostly they are spending on compensation of employees. Health overspent, health and human settlement were the only two departments that overspent their compensation of employees. So with regards to health, the current loan compensation of employees, but here the result of the also the uptake of the increased uptake on the housing allowance by employees, and also on goods and services such as laboratory services, they overspend at laboratory services. And looking at economic classification, the province underspent by 720 indicated there was more rural in place, and also in education because they lost some employees, about 2,000, more than 2,000. So by that time it had not filled all the vacant positions. So with regards to goods and services, the issue that I indicated earlier of and capital of transport, that transport offset their overspending for capital others with goods and services, where it seems like there's an issue of misclassification. Looking at the issues that were there, like I indicated, only health and new settlement overspend, the rest of the department underspend with regards to the preliminary number that we had. According to the data, the education lost more than 2,000 educators since December 2015, which resulted in a net expenditure of 450 million. LCSM has consistently underspent, as we will see in the next slide, but this time around was as a result of the contracts that they managed to negotiate. So they had a transversal contract in the province, which significantly reduced the net price of the material. Health, like I indicated, overspent their laboratory services budget despite receiving 270 million. And with regard to revenue enhancement, health and the quality, despite being given money to improve our systems for revenue collection. As I already indicated, that here's a 10 underspent or here a saving because they spent the result of the transversal contract money to get cheaper prices. Looking at health, they are spent on medicine and medical supplies at the end of the financial year. And then with regards to laboratory services, they were spent 140 million, 270 million. And looking at the accruals at the end of the financial year, the province has accruals of 2.8 billion. But if you compare to the previous financial year, there's been a slight improvement. But other people are still concerned about the last 80 days accrual because it means that life has not been paid for more than 30 days. Also, obviously, because if you look at the underspending of the province, they underspend by 230 million. But the accrual amount and payable for the last amount is 2.8 billion. So therefore, clearly there's been an issue of overcommitment, particularly for health, because if you look at their accruals, they've increased their accruals by 98.6% compared to the previous financial year. But if you look at other federal grants for the significant improvement, they've decreased their total accruals by 4.5%. And also education, they had a lot of accruals in that previous year because of infrastructure payments that could not be made. But there's been a slight improvement in that regard. Now looking at 2016 budget quickly, that the province is one of the province, Cape and South provinces that spent more than 60% on their compensation of employees, but this is mainly from education. I think we look at the education sector, they're spending more. They're one of the few provinces in Limpopo that spend more on their compensation compared to other aspects of the economy classification. But they're not doing as big as Eastern Cape in Limpopo. And looking at the fiscal framework, even though it would seem like there were deficits, particularly in the previous financial year, there was the provinces finance this expenditure through their own reserves. So therefore, it did not form part of the transfer from national and provincial reserves. So that's why it would seem like the rate is not better in the provincial reserves. But as I've indicated, the province underspent by 60 million. And also with those, there's been some, also over the NTF, the province has tabled a surplus budget, having a contingency reserve of 750 million over the NPF. So, because the slide shows that there is a budget deficit in 2017, but if you look, that the province has funded that through the reduction of community development at an average of 400 million over the NPF. All department COE budgets were reduced as national government indicated that there must be a ceiling on the compensation budget and also the TPC card. So on the radio, the province has to revise downwards this year and this lower revenue collection against customer and hostels in Texas. The allocation for SSM is declining. However, we're not so worried because the department has consistently understand this over the last 3 years. And I think that probably also this year they'll use their own transversal contract. There might be efficiency savings in this regard. If you look at education administration, there was high growth because they had to make provision for the second management posts, which are critical in supervising the school, so this is very important. Also, there was a low growth for transfer services to non-profit organizations because of the decline in learner numbers. So, would it just have there been an increase on the laboratory service budget? And also, the concern that came was that the ministry was being reduced despite the increased exchange rate price, but now that the rent is strengthened, so we anticipate that this will be a 2% reduction in the prices. Looking at the first quarter spending of 2016-17, the province has spent 4.3% of their budget at the time and projecting to overspend by 1.8 or 1.9 billion. But if you look at from there, 1.8 billion is only from health. So in education, mostly compensation of employees, especially most of these departments. In rural agriculture, they are expecting a rollover because they didn't spend some money in the previous financial year as part of due to the drought issues and the use of the national department was taking. But the other is compensation of employees. With regard to health, actually, it's on all items. The project to overspend on compensation of employees by 150 due to the increased uptake, among others, of the housing allowance, the pay progresses, and others. And on also on goods and services, the issue is less services, right? If you think that despite the increase in the budget, it's not enough to cover laboratory services. Also, they cannot revise their projections out for medicine and medical supplies because they anticipated that the exchange rate will negatively affect their budget. Also, transfers and subsidies, they help teachers because I think they owe again ECPE in this year, but I think in the first quarter they transfer some money to ECPE. And under payment for capital, health also to extend by something or something. But I think members must just remember that all this health have upwards of 1.2 billion, therefore it's got implications in the current year budget because they overspend by 140 million, therefore they do not have funds to carry over to pay for that voting budget.
Thank you for this presentation from the members. It's factual. The objective of this meeting and of the committee's program regarding the engagement with treasuries and the provinces is good governance, sound financial management and accountability. That's the principles. We look at finance and the fiscal position. There's only revenue of 3.2 billion, there's accrual of 2.8 billion, cash in the bank, fruitless, wasteful expenditure, wasteful expenditure. You look at that picture, how healthy is the province? If we take us back to Limpopo, that's the lesson we learned since 2012 actually. The lessons we learned there. The other information on the members in the budget as presented here is for the Appropriations Committee. the understanding, the reasons given. Compliance with what the Minister of Finance requested, a moratorium on selling of PERS. Look at critical PERS, look at operational people. They can both be combined to do the same job, maybe even better. They've got a contingency reserve of 750 million rand. If I recall correctly, I can't recall that other provinces have a contingency reserve. So this is a very, very positive sign. All members, we're going to take the briefing out by the Provincial Treasury, President on the MEC, welcome. You can make your inputs and then direct to whoever will guide us through the presentation. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. I'm sorry I'm slightly late. The support staff member that I've given to get to your venue was still not answering the phone, so we were wandering around a bit. But anyway, I think that we've done pretty well in KZN given the really difficult situation that we've been facing. Just to speak on a couple of things, we did provide an allocation of the adjustments of 6% over the MTF for NGOs. It was a big pressure. The underspending and compensation that you are seeing is a national instruction. We are only filling critical posts. Any posts that we refer to personnel. But it doesn't mean that we couldn't fill critical posts, but all posts have to go to Treasury and the Premier, which holds personnel, to see whether there is money for them over the MTF and whether the posts are in fact critical. Medical health is still a question mark. The RAND is good. And we did give them a significant amount of money to cover the expected shortfall, because if you looked at the RAND at the beginning of the financial year, health, the same amount of medicine we would have spent in the last financial year, medicine and medical supplies, would have been 1.8 billion more due to the fall of the RAND. So we're not wiping that up altogether, that it's not going to happen. We have to be prepared. We came to the table with about half of it. The contingency reserve in Provincial Treasury is not that much. It's 730 million. We've used up the entire contingency reserve in the previous financial years due to the fact that we have an unfunded wage agreement. And in Treasury, if it wasn't Treasury and its contingency reserve, we would have had to take the money. We actually did take money from departments, but to try to spare departments like the Department of Health and Education. So we in Treasury used our reserves to try and act as a buffer. Education, the last thing I wanted to mention was just the property rates issue. It is a burning issue, but I'm going to be putting it back on your table, because most of the public works funded property rates are national properties, not provincial ones. Where we have a challenge in our province is Section 21 schools. And we are going to go one of either routes. Either we're going to get education to top slice their budget and pay for property rates for Section 21 schools, so they don't rely on the school too, and if they don't want to, we are going to do it for them. But that is the major bulk of our property rates non-payments.
They can't go into the system.
Yes. But I think I'll stop there because the presentation is quite detailed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
The Secretariat noted that point. It will be part of the report and thank you, Mr.
Chairman, let me greet you as the Honourable Member present and my colleagues here. It's quite a lengthy presentation report slide, so I'll be guided by you, Chairman, if you think I'm too slow.
Most of the figures were covered by the National Treasury, okay. So you can highlight the things you want us to take note of.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, here is the outline, and we took the lead from the guidance from Chairperson's letter in terms of what are the areas that we should be covering in this presentation. So we will quickly just look at the economic performance of KwaZulu-Natal. We always compare KZN with the national performance, which is a natural thing because we can't perform very differently from the national average. But If you look at this slide here, Jefferson, you will see that the economy is really doing fairly badly. It's not just KZN economy. We've isolated some of the major sectors in here, and if you look at the top bar here, which is minus 18, that's the contraction that the mining sector experienced in the first quarter of 2016. The narrative is in the next slide, which indicates that generally the country's economy contracted by 1.2% in the first quarter of 2016, but KZN had a contraction of less than that amount, minus 0.48, which means we are not as bad as the national average for the first quarter. But really, we just do know, as people who follow the news, that the country is, like the globe itself, is in trouble. The economy of the country is peaking. So the mining sector is the one that really experienced substantial negative growth. So did the agricultural sector, and it's a bit of a problem in KZN because of its advantages for agriculture. But the effect of the drought can never really be underestimated as it was mentioned earlier in the consumption. Transport obviously does the same thing when all these other major sectors decline. It does decline too, because a lot of it has to be logistics, so if you have nothing to move really, because it's not produced too much in the mining sector, transport and aspect also will take a lot. Finance, not too bad, interestingly so, so to speak, and also trade registered a positive contribution to the economy. We then quickly go to the budget reserves for 15-16, and I think this has already been indicated earlier on by the fund, so I won't draw too much on it. Suffice to say that just towards the end of the financial year 15-16, the province did benefit from the reallocation of the distribution funding of F. To an amount of 308 million rand allocated to human settlements, and the second letter in that paragraph just indicates which other provinces benefited from the reallocation. This was money that was not spent in other provinces. I won't mention which province this, but it's a certain benefit of this, and it came in Northern Cape, Northwest, and so on. Jefferson, I also want to indicate there's an issue here with the Department of Transport on the Provincial Roads Maintenance Fund. An amount of 275.6 million was to be transferred in January to the province by National Transport, but it was not transferred for itself. And that's because of the non-compliance by the Department of Transport in terms of the Division of Revenue Act requirements. But we have jointly with our national provincial transport engaged the national treasury and national transport still waiting their indication. Because the spending has already taken place on this amount of money, even if it hasn't been transferred. So we're hoping that in this circumstance financially, the transfer will take place. On revenue, always have been the norm, we've sort of always overperformed vis-a-vis our own projections. This slide just indicates the percentage collected by the department. So there's about 8.9% over collection of our own revenue. In actual random terms, it's 255.3 million rand over collection against the budget. And the next slide just indicates which areas. So the part of our own revenue really comes from five main sources. The motor vehicle license fees, which are collected by the Department of Transport, health station fees, obviously by transport, customer taxes, hot racing taxes, interest and dividends, and that's normally collected by provincial treasury. Really on the positive cash balances that we've always maintained, so we do get interest from there. So the aggregate unaudited revenue collected by the provincial department was 3.2 billion rand, and Jefferson has already highlighted that this is against the final appropriation of 2.9 billion rand, indicating an over collection of 265.3 million rand. Departments responsible for the over collection is human settlements, economic development and tourism, provincial treasury, education and transport, culture, public works, and the provincial legislature. The under-collection, on the other hand, we have experienced in the Department of Finance, and that's an area of concern, Honorable Jefferson. I will put it in this house that we are worried because we've got quite a nice incentive for the Department of Health to say that if any amount that you over-collect your revenue by above budget, which gave effect to as an incentive, but they're really contracting their patient fee collections. So we worry that when they don't perform properly. So there's an under collection of, there was an under collection of 14.6 million. They blame it on the Rodex. The fund, we all know the issue with Rodex is the fund itself is not really a liquid entity. Under collection for shop development, so you're not worth commenting on that much. Human settlements, these are money that has been returned to the revenue fund, National Health Finance Corporation. There was a recall there, and also the money that we indicated for some of the projects that developed and never completed. So those money have been returned to the revenue fund. In total, we have 6 million in human settlement. Economic development, likewise, an amount of 40 million rand. And that has to do with some of the projects that couldn't really take off as anticipated, and developers are always instructed to return the money to the revenue fund pending the finalization of whatever needs to happen before expenditure can take place. So the money does sit in some account, some obscure account somewhere, and once the money is in the provincial revenue fund. So that amount of money then registered as revenue, so 40.8 million rand in economic development. Provincial Treasury over collection of 39.8 million rand, and that is got to do with the interest at the end. But obviously we also had a problem in the previous financial year with the subdued gaining and betting activities. So as much as we overcollected, we also underperformed in some of our main revenue sources, which is accommodation. Education over collection for 2 million rand, this is really on the same as what off and the things that are kept for assets. Transport also, sort of redundant levels, so there was a net collection of 11 million rand. Costs are the same story, which has to do with the funds that were returned from the Tobacco Facility, which were funds allocated for corporate development, which made the excess of the money had to be returned to the provincial revenue fund. Now, that is only revenue side, the honorable chairperson, and I think we've done fairly well. But I also want to say that on the expenditure side, I think we've done fairly well too. I'm not sure how other projects would look like, but frankly, at 99.4% budget expenditure, stream can't quite get any better than that in general. So we were just short of 0.6% to have been our budget fully. let me just indicate that there would have been a number of adjustments, environments that would have been done by the department. And also I want to indicate that was an issue of 1,000 rand that was an error on our side. This was to sort out in the adjustments for the rural African World Development baseline. But at the end of the financial year, and audited the audited numbers that have come out, we just had to present this area before the AD could finish, so that I will keep referring to the unaudited in this presentation. But the differences are marginal, Chairperson, so you can say the unaudited figures really as that. So the province ended up having spent 104.3 billion rand and compared to the final appropriation of 105, meaning that we understand in general by 649.8 billion rand or 0.67. This is why I said, Chairperson, it's really good expenditure performance at this amount of understanding. Let me just continue a little bit, just highlight a few. The real department, Chairperson, that's a problem we did have. And with the first quarter projections that with our colleague from the National Treasury indicated, then you need to go by. You really can see that the project profession is a part of the project. They're already projecting the government in the current financial year by all the And so we engage. Have, but if you look at what they projected earlier on in 2015 vis-à-vis the outcome, it was a slight improvement. I think slight improvement because we do know how come they managed not to overstep by the earlier projections. It's because they really postponed payments, is that we do in payments, and the accrual, just as my colleague was referring to. These are just the areas where have really have touched on is on the NHLS, the introduction of the SIPO service for payment of the laboratory tests, what is putting a lot of pressure in the budget of health. And also the compensation of employees, there would have been an underestimation of the effect of the wage improvement, particularly the housing allowance part of the improvement of conditions. Education, on the other hand, has quite a bit of an under-expenditure, 274 million rand, and that really is around the non-tooling of the whole, to deal with budget pressure. Social development likewise, understand by 98.9 million rand, and also the part of this understanding is on compensation of employees. Agriculture, 93.2 million, and spending, and there are reasons given there, provincial treasury also reflects the understanding of 76.8 million rand, and also, so in general, a lot of understanding that has taken place in Kimberley can really be accounted for by the strictness with which we do the filling of posts, and it's what we always try and inculcate a treasure across all nine provinces to say let us keep a watchful eye when it comes to compensation of employees, because if we don't keep a watchful eye, the crowding out effect will actually take place. Crowding out meaning that we will really end up not having anything to spend on proper service delivery, but you'll end up spending a lot of money on compensation and you can pay more markup for the salary and things on the economically favored buyers. Proper overhead and underspending, 53.1%, also due to delays in filling of vacant posts. Same with arts and culture, but the arts and culture one has to do with the delays in the construction of libraries, particularly in Shakespeare and Manife. There were issues there with the term process, so there was understanding. You will see this amount of money also reflected on the capital side when we go to it a bit later. Office of the Premier underpending as well, provincial legislature also underspent. The legislature spending underspending can be explained also by the containment measures that the provincial legislature has implemented. To make sure that they also take or play their part when it comes to fiscal austerity measures in the program. Transport, understanding of 28 million rand, I've already spoken about the amount of money that was withheld, 275 million rand, so we're waiting for that because 275 million rand of that has already been spent. Understanding in economic development, and environmental affairs, also non-filling posts, public works, also delays in filling posts, and then the other departments actually have marginal understanding of their meeting there, human settlement, health and rest, community safety, and the labor. Yeah, and on the conditional grant side of things, you will see this table 3 is really speak volumes. You will see the percentage spent on the extreme item side of the size column, you will see a lot of 100%. Now, this is a really marked improvement from the previous performance in conditional grants by KVN. And I think what has helped here is departments had a tendency of using their equitable share in the beginning of the financial year, and they're doing the reconciliation quite later in the financial year, and we ask them to do it the other way around. Then your conditional grant will have one. Especially if you care, some of the grants are just you can't quite spend much on it in the earlier part of the year because it's linked to the granting season. But some of the grants you really can be able to spend the amount of money upfront, and then once you've exhausted your grant, you can reverse your distribution. So this message seems to have filtered through. We used to return quite a bit of money back to the national system as a result of our failure to understand on the conditional grant.
Now this is the practice of other provinces must look at. Because that's where we got the problems. I'm speaking of my own problems. I must note this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And so the table lists all the grants then that the province has and the outcome thereof. And then the narrative that narrates the actual performance per grant. I don't know, Chairperson, it's quite a longish table there, but it's quite obvious when you look at all the grants from the Department of Agriculture, Economic Development, Education, Health. So, in aggregate, the province spent 99.6% of all the grant applications that was allocated. The significant quantum has underpinning, which was the Communist Labour Services, and I always indicated this, that it was the Department of Agriculture, with the Library, which has been in the Humanitarian, and also small amounts by provincial maintenance, the Department of Transport, 8.2 million, the National Health Insurance Trust, and so in general, really, there were very good performance on the provincial side. Likewise, with infrastructure spending, 99.1% spent, you can see the percentages on the extreme right-hand column, excuse me, 30% in terms of how the program performed. Education is a slight overspending on CAPEX, 12.6 million rand. This is mainly due to the building of new additional schools, to eliminate underdeveloped infrastructure. Human settlements also reflect slight overspending of 7.3 million rand. And it's resulting on their housing program. Agriculture underspending, I've spoken about that. Agriculture, slight underspending, 25 million rand due to the construction of old stock water dams and not being finalized at the end of the commission. And all these are the problems, Chairperson, that's the problem of trying to deal with in terms of dealing with initial traffic. Cochlear also slight underspending. Social development and the spending of 50 million rand. These are issues of procurement problems that always besiege provinces in terms of public works and other implementing it. Sometimes here the issues around FUKA, that's the province also utilizes sometimes to implement some of the federal problems. Transport, 17.1 million rand spent. Office of the Premier, 8.4 million rand are spent. That is an amount of the delay in the upgrade of the Royal Palace. Economic classification, Chairperson. By and large, the compensation of employees reflects understanding of the 106.9 million events, mainly against the Department of Social Development, Provincial Family and Education, and that is accounted for by the moratorium on the figure of the taken toll. So we have that showed pressure in the financial year of compensation of employees, overshooting compensation of employees budget by 167.2 million. Goods and services are spending 151 million rent. This is maybe it's not so much understanding of probably savings in education around MPSM. I think the colleague from Treasury has indicated that. Treasury and a special of 52 million rand on goods and services as a result of the reallocation of the federal mainframe function from the government of the state to the national treasury, so that's really just of that matter. Comcare also understands due to the low spending on issues around the local government elections, especially the provision of basic infrastructure, it was no longer as bad as we thought it was, so there wasn't much to depend on. Originally, we thought that most of our border stations would really have challenges with infrastructure delivery, but in reality, it wasn't to be the case. The transport also, with the services, 30.4 million rand, 30.2 million rand, and spending. And then also, the department also had a lot of savings as a result of restrictions and catering, which are part and parcel of our cost containment. Transfers and subsidies, as another economic classification category, reflect an underspending of 60.9 million rand, mainly due to the delays on payment of health to the Kemini Metro Polyclinic. I'm sure you recall, Chairperson, the relationship that exists between our metro and health when it comes to clinics. The same concept relates to museums and all those other functions that municipalities have been performing for the provincial function. Let's just see what else would be important, what is going to know, note. On the machinery and equipment, there is also a substantial amount of understanding that relates to health. Total of 104 million rand from each, which are projects that have been deferred to the 16-17 financial year. Also education, understanding, ammunition and equipment, 30.9 million rand. These are the result of the procurement from in the next slide, then just talks about the bank balances. You summed it up quite nicely in one of your comments around what it is that this committee needs to look at. You look at the accruals, you look at the cash in the bank, and look at the actual expenditure, outcomes, and so on. So the equation without just about completing it. So the bank balances, this slide is a slide that we really do pride ourselves as a province of Agulna and really look at. Because this is not how things were before. In 2009, you can see the red line. That's where we really were financially in the doldrums. What area are we bluntly at that? The province was really, really in the red. So we moved to them since June 2010, and we really have never looked back. And as you can see, I think towards the end of, at the end of March 2016, well, that balance was just under 4 billion rand. But then, definitely, marry this with what is in the drawers in the form of accruals. So there is a call on the cash in the end once the invoice is ordered and come out. But generally, the province has really been liquid. We really have never had a problem of a cash flow, a cash flow plant. This table here just indicates the overdraft limit. This department went over the overdraft limit at the point, but generally the overall checkers out and the revenue fund, they've been solid in terms of the cash in the bank. We ended up with 3.7 billion rand cash in the bank in 2016. And as I said, it was really the Department of Health that exceeded its overdraft limit in previous years by 180 million rand, and the pressure on health has already been spoken about. The Department of Sport and Recreation was a small amount. Otherwise, there really wasn't much of a problem. Now, here is the elephant in the room, Chairperson. Now, this is the accrual.
I know that.
Which is the accrual, Chairperson, per department at the end of 15. And as you will see, it's really the Department of Health that is a problem. You see the number right at the bottom, 1.2 billion rand. That's quite it's worse because health has other pressures, as you mentioned, as you saw earlier on around competition of employees and also the laboratory services. So it's going to be a stretch, but somehow the provincial accountants in general and the department, they need to deal with this matter. There are issues underlying your non-payment of what is due and aim, including the possibility that you will be postponing payment to the service provider that really cannot stand and wait for long in terms of their cash flow in their business. So the downside of an increase in accruals is that you're probably killing some of the businesses that you really want to nurture and make sure that they grow. So this is an issue we don't take that line. On the unauthorized expenditure, President, it would only have been the Department of Health that would have this because they overall overspent their budget, the main division level. The rest of the departments didn't. So here, as a matter of course, we take issue to the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, depending on the strength of the motivation. This unauthorized expenditure can either be authorized or can be down. And if it's not authorized by the committee, then it becomes surcharge on the department's allocation for the future year. If the opposite happens, meaning that the committee accepts the unauthorized expenditure as legitimate, then it becomes a surcharge on the revenue fund. So we make provisions for it and table the unauthorized authorization, or sorry, the authorization of unauthorized expenditure bill. Irregular expenditure. Here, Chairperson, really only the issue here has to do with supply chain. That's where irregular expenditure takes place. I wouldn't say only in KZN, I would just say in government in general. It's not so much that money is stolen. It is that people did not follow process. So the Auditor General said it's irregular. He spent it, fair enough. But it was irregular spent because he did not follow due process in the way that you realized the spend. And so these numbers, Chairperson, we will probably count them, I think, now that we already have the Auditor General report. And then we'll take it also to the committee to see if it can be condoned or not. Fruitless and wasteful, there is an amount here, Chairperson, and it affects mainly the Department of Education, 141 million rand. Chair, this is an old matter that besieged the Department of Transport, and as a result, the Provincial Treasurer requested that the funds that were put aside to deal with this litigation be brought back into the revenue fund. So depending on the outcome of the court case, then the revenue fund will finance. And so the money will help pending outcome. The court case actually went in favor of the supplier in the end, and so we had to pay. But then, you know, the court, the bank funds will always have interest in it. And that's the wasteful part, the fruitless part, is the interest part. Chairperson, thank you. I think this is the end of the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you to the HOD of Marisi. You can conclude. You want to say anything in addition?
Now, for me, I want to abuse this moment now that I have your attention. Okay, look, I do have to tell you that education case was a very big wake up for our problems, not to draw out legal damages. That what started off at 25 million with interest, we ended up paying 111 million. So it was a wake-up call for us, and it certainly will never happen again. I just wanted to say that keeping the province in a positive, a cash-positive situation has been extremely challenging. And we have had massive cuts to our baseline, massive. And we literally we've already gone through the marrow of our bone. So any unforeseen, we are hearing at the moment that more rumors that we're going to have more cuts. You do know that the provinces have to pay for the fee must fall. I mean, our province alone had to contribute 1 billion rand to that. And that 1 billion rand that we didn't have. So we had to relook at our whole, at all of the departments, and we took money off goods and services. We're very unhappy cabinet. And, you know, both myself and my staff were under a huge backlash. But we weathered that storm. And a lot of expenses come out of that, because we were really firm. You know, the money's coming off. If you don't like the way we cut it, shows the way you want to cut it. And it was a hard couple of months. It really was. So, you know, I'm just so lucky I have such an excellent treasury. The other really big challenge that our province faces, and it's not just our province, it's Gauteng, and that's the medical legal claims. We were in the region of about 6.5 billion. We're now closer to 10 billion. We try to do drastic things. And apparently there are experts in the Western Cape. We're bringing them on board. We're bringing in a retired judge on board to go through the cases. Mr. Mazzaleri said, don't go to court, mediate. You know, go directly to the families and offer them money in cases where we have been clearly medically negligent. So we are in that process. It's not happening as fast as it should, but we are hoping it's going to take impetus in this year that we can actually knock off these medical claims. It won't happen in 1 year, but we've got to start the process. The issue that really burns our treasury is unfunded mandates. A lot of legislation comes from national level that hasn't got a national treasury certificate. Or if it does have a national treasury certificate, it only pertains to national spending. It doesn't pertain to knock-on provincial expenditure. Again, piece of legislation that I'm going to bring to your attention is the Traditional Leaders Bill, which pays for the infant dinner. Well, that was, what, a 1.2 billion unfunded mandate for our province. Mm. And, you know, it's just not acceptable, because where are we supposed to find the money? But the bigger elephant in the room is these DPSA circulars. And I'm really asking your committee to intervene. We did a count the other day, because every serving month we get circulars from DPSA. They're all with good intentions. Let's improve the quality of service, let people go on training, let people get this, let people get this kind of incentive. We did a cost analysis of just the last year, 6.5 billion. And I then asked my provincial treasury. Provincial treasury, a lot of it was the wage, the unbudgeted for wage increase. Okay. So let's put that aside. Let's look at all the others. Run and spend. And GPSA circulars are compulsory. They're not voluntary. But they don't cost them. And it's KwaZulu-Natal and some of us, because you know we're a really large province with a huge public service, we're really badly hit by this. And it also puts us in conflict with the unions unnecessarily, because if a DDSA circular comes out saying that you've got to improve compensation in such and such a way, you create a benefit that people think that accrues to them. So if we in the province say, we don't have the money, we become the bad guys. And I really am appealing to you. I mean, I don't know where the DPSA serves before you. But it's not just, I mean, we actually brought up at the Presidential Council about a month ago. These DPSA circulars are killing us. I'm very happy to provide the share with our analysis just in case they didn't learn. But I know that, you know, we've taken a really strong interest in it because we know what it means. But it's going to bite other provinces that are not paying attention. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. MSC, thank you very much. We noted this. And we would like to have a joint meeting between us as finance and the select committee dealing with the public administration. But we'll wait for the additional in information. Very important, honourable member, we're dealing with taxpayers' money. We're going back to our constituencies. We just done an election. We must go back. Constituency period is coming up. What did you do since the 3rd of August? We would have to report on finances. Yes. They're going to ask us. Very important, the point that came out, learn best practices, engaging with also based and gave other provinces to improve expenditure and administration. Excellent treasuries, yes, we've got excellent people in our provincial treasuries and the national treasury. Unfunded mandates, when we've concluded our reports, we will deliberate on that, but we will have to call also the minister to engage. And that has happened at the basic council level as well. This is Parliament. What does Parliament say? Parliament speak to the minister. The minister accounts to Parliament. On the members, questions? On the dinner? On the Isaac? On Dr. Bronx? In that order?
Thank you, Chairperson. I got some few clarity questions. The property rates by the national government, the non-payment of them, because I've engaged many times with public workers, and they are complaining that you don't invoice them properly. Is that the case or not? And then what would you talk about the Section 21 schools? The second one is, they withheld the road maintenance money was due to non-compliance. Is that now improved? The compliance of the city has improved or not? And if it hasn't improved, what are you going to do about that? Then the collection of revenue from health and the social department, how are you going to address that in future? Then the irregular expenditures, will that continue in the next budget anyway, if you've got a plan to solve that problem? But the main one is the fruitless expenditures. Each province has got a legal advisor. What was the legal advice regarding this case? And if you did get a legal advice, did you adhere to that legal advice? Because yeah, the taxpayers have lost a lot of money on a case maybe that shouldn't even have went to court. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, Uncle Dale always does this to me. Yeah. Just when I think I got the right question.
It's your mind.
Yeah, you outsmart me all the time. So I have a lot of respect for your smartness. Jefferson, yeah. I'll just have to skip a few things there because I don't want to duplicate what Honorable Dale has just mentioned. But I'll try to be brief. On the presentation, yes, on the whole, I think it's a very comprehensive presentation. I'm not convinced that the age of D is should have a passion for KZN, which is great, but very admirable. Children, for you, yeah, you know, if you, on the property rates, you had a tremendous overcorrelation. And this is probably why the adding to your 750 million a year continuity that you have, it sounds all great, you know. But I'm a little anxious in that going forward, what are your plans regarding the property rates going forward? Because I don't even be able to overcorrect ongoing, okay? And then of course on the health COE and accruals, the question is that the department reflected a budget pressure of 400 million mainly due to housing allowance increment. The question arises, did you not see this coming? This is the thing, did you not see this coming? And then, skip to Mr. Gaynor's, education personnel, is an action plan? Education has lost 2,340 educators. Is an action plan? Or maybe you're not the right angle to be asking this question. But you can touch on it. If you can't, I would understand. Then the other big issue that stands out for me is revenue enhancement. Health undercollected 94% against its target despite investments made. And I think you preempted that question. You're a smart guy. It's problematical for me, but I think we must address this. Please, it's of cardinal importance. Again, a question from Mr. Gaynor. I'll skip that one. Yeah, and the big elephant in the room, as you say, your accruals story is certainly not a good story to tell. And I think you may hear this ongoing. And I hope that next year, when you come back and do a presentation, that the slide on the accruals will tell us a different story. I sincerely hope so. I'm not going to extend any further. Then there was just one last thing to share with the commission, and then I will pass on. Yeah, this one stuck out from page 15, actually, at the bottom. The remainder of the overcollection was from staff debt. Why do you have that level of staff debt? That's my question. Thank you, sir.
Both of us.
Chairperson, thank you. Mine is more of a general comment. I think in general it's a very good presentation, and thank you for that. And really, I see that you have your things sort of under control in your province, and that again, I think it's commendable. What worries me a bit, though, is that, you know, the over-expenditure, you know, is more sort of, let's put it down, otherwise
related, and you know, obviously in the health department and so on. And the other expenditure is again, you know, where more, you know, job creation stuff in agriculture, things like that. And I think that is something that we need to address. You know, for instance, in education, we need to, you know, ensure that we will be able to create employment in this country. And employment, obviously, a very important part of employment is educating and training our people. So that is a bit of a concern to me. Then we have all our old devils around still, like, for instance, the supply chain. And I was just wondering, you know, is it the lack of training? What is the position? And that is something that I think we need to pursue and get clarity on that. And if it's training, then obviously one will have to ensure that, you know, people are getting properly trained. In health, I am seriously concerned about health. I think that, you know, you will have to maybe engage the management of health in your province and see, you know, what can be done to rectify this situation. Because this is obviously not something where that, you know, we can just allow to go on. My colleagues mentioned the other stuff that I also noted. I think we need to attend, you know, to the rules and things as well. Thank you, Chairperson. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Blanche. From my side, page 10 and page 28 of the presentation from the province. Page 10 referring to a response the province is working from the National Treasury at bottom. There's ongoing communication between the National Treasury and the Provincial Treasury, invoices, blah, 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 but the province is still waiting for a response in this regard. So the Treasury is here on the spot. Let me get that reply. Page 26, honourable members. If you go back to the previous 8 provinces, expenditure libraries is under expenditure. And year after year, we get the same picture. That's not the turnaround. If processes are too long, processes must be shortened. If we can put the man on the moon, we can shorten processes as well. Yes. It's in our hands. Why? And the MSC refers to compliance with the Constitution and the PFMA. Here it is. That's our role. Also, people don't follow the processes requiring to give regular expenditure. So the province is addressing it, but that's where Parliament comes in. Consequences for things that were done in the wrong way, referring to section 81 to the end of the PFMA. We will have to zoom into the AG's reports. We're now in August. We usually get the briefing by the AG, so I mean September, October, I can't remember quite correct now, but it's somewhere in the second semester that we will have to, as Finance Committee, engage in a meeting with the AG. The role of SOPA and the Finance Committee in the provinces. Very, very, very crucial. And in future, I would say that we call the chairs of SOPA and the Finance Committee, so the legislators also, to these type of meetings, that we try that hard. Honorable MC, HUD, you may respond.
Thank you very much for the good questions that the members have put forward. Let me just take this opportunity to gloat a little bit, honorable members, and indicate to you that the provincial treasurer in front of you has received its 7th clean audit in a row. So I thought I should just say that. Now, let me even try and answer the questions the best I can. Honorable Geller, on the property rate side, the issue is now getting solved, particularly by National Public Works. The department that has been a problem, we've got a facility in the province, in Treasury, in fact, that assists municipalities with putting up invoices on all government properties. So we've always had a problem with National Public Works.
as of last week, now we've got a director that at a difficult director general level in public works national. So the problem is going to be wiped out. There's always been public works national that would not be honorable, but we never really had a direct relationship with national public works. Now it's there. So I really don't think it's going to be an issue at all going forward in putting this thing out. It really has been a problem of us finding the right person to really address the matter. So everything you can rest assured that the national debt that the two and several municipalities is really going to disappear. At least it will remain current. The problem is if it's more than 3 days, current will always be there. Tanya, will you please see if there was an issue around the non-compliance? I think that relates to transport, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you, Jay. Honourable members, for KZN it has been an issue. We've had discussions with our Department of Transport this very week. We've had bilaterals with our department. The non-compliance took place most of last financial year when they didn't report on what National Policy calls the infrastructure reporting model. That non-compliance continued in the first quarter of 2016-17, but at the bilateral we held with them, was it on Friday? We had now offered a resource to them. They had battled to identify a specific person who would do the reporting for us, to us and to National Treasury. So from Provincial Treasury, we're putting in two resources from KZN and Provincial Treasury to assist with that reporting. It's obviously an interim solution, just to get the system up and going for them to identify exactly what it is that they need and in the long term for them to take it over themselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there's a bit of an issue in health as far as capacity to comply, and it's sort of as big as all Jefferson, because transport has not been a very good department in the past, and somehow something has gone slightly haywire. Now, when it comes to health under collection, Honorable Gill, I think what the department says really is that they put the blame really on their own accident fund. In terms of their revenue under collection, and you sort of are inclined to accept that explanation, knowing how the road accident fund itself is in terms of its financial status. I would have been more worried if the under collection is on health station fees, which is where the incentive part of our arrangement is. So that's not really the issue. But if we can get the road accident fund, the national function sorted out, I don't know when that will be. Then that will not really be an issue. You've got a very good point in asking about the issue of India and the legal advice and how we ended up where we are, honourable member. Government in general is not good at defending cases. I'll say it up front. In fact, we are terrible. And so this case was in my mind 8 days in 2009. Was a fair complete. It was clear that the service provider was at fault and should have declared the discount back into the department, which he didn't, or they didn't. But that was the matter under dispute. Obviously, also the particular one was muscled out another joint venture partner and then decided to run the project on his own. So the case was against him was quite obvious in my mind as a non-legal person. But in the end, the department lost the case, which means we're just not good at defending the case. So we should not have intent this way for extending it, quite frankly, in my mind. And I think that's the point, and this was also indicating. But now we arrive at the regular expenditure, honorable member. We try every year, what the AG like has done now, come up with identification of what was the regular, why it was like that. We then really do a departmental assessment to look at why it was so, and then identify the areas of intervention. In fact, it became a premium pet project every year to say, what the AG has done, the treasurer, since we've got the department to go through this. There's an AG report behind what the AG publishes, by the way, and it indicates everything, including departments that don't respond to AG's queries on time and how often they were given an opportunity to respond. He didn't respond, who was supposed to respond, he didn't respond. So all those details, we pull out that report from those personnel and then we go through it each and every department to understand what's invested in you in carrying away the next expenditure. And as I said, it's usually supply chain management rules. And then we then try to indicate, to understand whether it is a lack of training, people don't understand SCM for whatever reason, or there's just not sufficient people inside. So you have people playing dual roles, hence you've got the ref and player, and then that also is can also be declared irregular. And then we see the best we can, how we can assist each particular department. So we take each department on its own case by case kind of a basis, and then have a tailor-made solution to it. We've considered, for example, education has a problem with what is called cat leave, I think. So there's a very specific project, and I think this year it wasn't an issue from the general. So that's what we'll try and do. But in the end, there's so much pressure we can do. Department needs too much effort to do. They've got their own staff, they've got their own accounting officer, and as Chairperson said, if there's no consequence for being irregular in your and you will continue being irregular because there's no consequence. Honorable, let me just talk about the issue of the property rate of Honorable Douglas. Can I skip you? So that's sorry? You listen a little bit after. The property rates themselves, I think there was probably I didn't understand the question, but it appears as if the honorable member are thinking that the property rates are due to province. They are not provincial revenues of the province. It's to the municipality. Mm-hmm. And so there can never be an over-collection on property rates by province at all. Our over-collection is really on motor vehicle license fees, casino and gaming taxes, but unfortunately this past round on the gaming and betting side of things, our revenue decided to go south because of the subdued economic activity. Do you want to comment on that?
There's a lot of emphasis on the 2,000 employees of education. We insisted on a headcount exercise, and it was a very lengthy process, and every single time we were finished, the Department of Education didn't want us, because we gave these employees an opportunity to come and verify themselves, because we verified every single person in education. In our third round, we were left with about 2,000 people, and we cut them per staff. Look, I mean, some of them came out of the woodwork, hadn't been at work for the last 2 years. But it's another very important lesson for very big provinces to learn, because, I mean, I think we've got something like 80,000 staff in the Department of Education. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of people. And, you know, and it's a moving target. And education is even worse because of the supplementary teachers. So, you know, there's a period in the year where, and we're trying to deal with that. You know, because every single time we speak to education, they've got a different figure, and they'll tell you it's ours, you know. And so that's why we insist on the headcount exercise. But an excellent project has come about under biometric scanning, and it was started by Gauteng. We've, again, adopted a best practice. We've actually copied Gauteng, and we are embarking now on a headcount exercise on health. We actually want to do the entire process, because you can't believe how many employees don't exist. Or people just taking salaries on, you know, they've been on suspended leave for 2 years. And, you know, when you've got that kind of number of employees, they do fall through the cracks. But that was the issue of education. We cut off the employees due to headcount.
Yes, thank you very much. You also had a question about the health overspending, whether it was not foreseen. It really was foreseen, in fact, and it around about December last year, it was a lot more than the eventuality at the end of 2016. But as I said, it's all kind of an eventuality, because during the end of football, health has had quite a bit. There's a historical issue around the National Laboratory Services program in the country. And Honorable Member, Chairperson, will probably recall that KZN has always been against the existence of the laboratory services as centralized. So for better or worse, we stuck to our guns for a long time paying what we call a flat fee. Because we had our own laboratories and they were running properly. There was no issue whatsoever with the costs associated with testing blood. But obviously there was a national directive to say provinces will relinquish that, and then we'd be a national health laboratory service. But unfortunately, I think you can blame it on politics. We remain on flat fee, but what National Health and Community Services are doing, we're also paying our debt because we have to have been following the so-called fee for service regime of payment instead of the flat fee, which we were constantly honoring, but then in the end our debt came to some humongous amount. So that question is there. It's going to be a negotiation going forward. I don't know whether we started. So we started honoring it, and as you could see, there was about 270 odd million rand that we then just paid the laboratory services at National to try and reduce the amount of expenditure. So,
fortunately, politics are changed. That's not on the agenda. Please continue with your
And also, the rent it's now strong, so it's not too bad on the medicine side. But at a point, the rent was so weak that whatever health would have spent the year before, so probably spent double the amount this year because of the deterioration of the rent. And so those are the pressures that you even if you sort of foresee them, but as much you really can do instead of addressing those. The oil pollution on staff debt, this is mainly, this kind of debt arises out of a few areas. In education in particular, it's really on the payment of staff that would have exited the system. Personnel cut-off in education is a lot slower than it is in other departments because it's regionalized. So the teacher resigns and off they go, but the resignation hasn't reached head office. As it were, and then there's a month or so where the teacher can get one that already left the system and then try and track back that money. So that's one area. The other one is usually bursaries, so there are people in bursaries by the sort of internal staff, and then that money is raised or cash, and then the department has to be continuing it. And so that really is the reason. We do applaud departments that try and pursue that and get officials that all government to pay that. And so education has done exceptionally well in trying to recover this after. FCM, Honorable Chetlan, you right, and I think I'm going to try to deal with this matter here, but we really do need to deal with the issue of supply chain management. And it's really not rocket science. If you really just read through what the CFMA requires us as to do, it's doable. It really is doable. There has to be the will to do the right thing all the time by the public servants, and that will sometimes is lacking. And sometimes they do know the reason, not so much because somebody doesn't know, but they want to not know because of some benefits that accrue from pretending not to know. I'm talking gibberish, but I'm sure honorable members understand what I'm trying to say here, that there's sometimes deliberate flunking of these things for whatever reason, particularly benefit and corruption. So that matter needs to be dealt with. And the only way you really deal with this thing is consequence. Yeah. People need to suffer the consequences of their wrongdoing. We've got cases in Kenya that go years, nothing has happened to the officials, and everybody knows that. Let me point that. This one has done X, this one has done Y. But that's it. The disciplinary things don't move, they just don't move. Even the most important law enforcement agencies, when they move in, they also get in and not move. And then you wonder, what else do you get to? I have to say this in this platform is an important thing to say. Some of the things that make
you make. Does that imply that these agencies are not getting what they want? They've got the end objective, but they can't reach that objective. I'm referring back to the PULPO, the ACDT, Anti-Corruption Task Force. It's also a lengthy process, there's lots of frustration, but this committee is monitoring what's happening there. You must tell us that we can zoom into it.
President, can I request that maybe we have a one-on-one with you, then at least I can be able to share with you what specific cases that you're talking about and see if you can assist the project with this matter. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. So that's the issue around SPM and irregularities that takes place. Health definitely needs assistance with the accruals, and that's probably why I said that the provincial accountant general needs to see what we really can do now. It's been going on for quite some years.
and between that office and in College of Treasury and Health before the South District out. At least get on a nicer trajectory, not the one that goes up in terms of the accruals. That's declining like it is in transport in our department. So we take the advice on our own member. I think the chairperson really were commenting here. We'll refer to a colleague from National Treasury on the transport response. The issue on understanding on that is you are absolutely right. It's not a good thing, the understanding on libraries. And we also spoke about the consequences as far as the regular expenditure is concerned, which are all good points that we take. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your remarks in terms of the presentation, etc., what you want to add?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me respond to the PRMG withholding of the grant. At National, we've got two processes. We do have a process where if the department, the provincial department, have underspent on the funds which were transferred to the province. We do have a provincial rollover process because the money is sitting in the provinces. And in that case, we've already considered that process and have written a letter already to the provincial treasury. But this one, because the funds were withheld, it forms part of the national budget process, in a way, adjustment budget process. So in this case, they did ask for proof of payment to say whether the money is committed, and a request of the information from the province is submitted. And in this case, from our side, we have recommended that the money be approved as part of the rollover process. But because I think we're having a TTF on the 16th of September, there it will be presented whether the province is getting the money or not. Thank you, Chairperson.
As it is then, as applied from the Treasury, that's the role of the NCT committees to bring the people together. And on the spot you get the honor. Other members of the MEC and your team, thank you for your presentation, the National Treasury, for your inputs. We're going to release you now because we've got other business of the committee so that you can have a cup of tea outside. If you travel, travel safely, also to your homes, to your loved ones. Thank you very much. Other members, we still got two items on the agenda. The one is outstanding minutes. As to the HUD, before you leave, that one-on-one, when we can do it, or if you can list information for me, and just email it.
Nominate candidates with a background in credit risk and financial management, as well as agriculture, legal and human resource management, for appointment to the board of the Land Bank.
Now, in the 7 years I'm the chair of finance in the NCP, it's the first time that we get such a referral. So this is also new to me. I'm actually with the standing committee on finance as well, but the rest are just a process. Can you just explain that to us, please?
Yes, sir. We've got a referral on the 12th of May. It's that time when members will be preparing for the elections. We're about to leave. But it was referred to the relevant committees, that is agriculture, in the National Assembly, the committee that deals with the Select Committee for Agriculture and the SOP. This has never been referred before to us. I've met with the colleagues in the SOP and also the NA, those who are that look for agriculture. To them, it was not an easy thing. They referred me to 4.2 of the act which I provided members with.
Yes, Mr. President is appointed member of the board, the minister. Yes, the minister must have notice of gazette as well as in order for press media and written invitation to the relevant parliamentary committee call for the nomination of a person who are not disqualified in terms of section 10 to serve on board. We go to section 9 and section 10 where it states who gets to be disqualified. Who is the, and also that the minister of section 9 may appoint. With them, they are not advertising members. They just gave it to members. I've asked them that downstairs, they said they've been doing like that because it's the minister who appoints. For them as a committee, they just give the names to the minister. Members nominate from the floor. There's no issue of the advertisement, there's no issue of the public hearing. They've been processing this voting for the past years of just giving to members. Member Mohai will just give the committee 2 seats to say from my side and for his suitable candidate, then the committee will deliberate on those candidates. That's their process. But when I spoke to the chairperson said, no, that can't be the correct process. Yes. This one, that is, these 2 committees affected. That is agriculture in the NA and the agriculture in the SOP. With them, they just give it to members, members nominate, you just, Mr. Esther come with the seat, go to the land to say, I feel Zoran needs to be formed part of this board. Then it's up to the committee to appoint a step to Zoran, then it will be forwarded to the minister. That's how we do the process. But Shepherdson said, no, let's follow the proper way. Then it means we need to advertise and do all those kinds of things. Thanks.
Honourable members, we are meeting with the Standing Committee of Finance also tomorrow. I will engage with the Honourable Karim that we do this jointly. It's on their program as well.
Okay.
If there's any cost that we reduce costings. So that it's limited, that we dealt with this and look at the best process to cover this in terms of the formal referral.
So, in a nutshell, you think we're going to advertise it as
it's written? Let me first speak to the Honourable Karim. I will do that. I must speak to him today, so on other matters regarding our 2 parties. In any case, we're meeting tomorrow, exactly on legislation, on the rights and monetary amendment, all that, the things we deal with in the second semester is now raining on us. Yeah. So, take note of this, and we deliberate so long. We will come back to you.
Okay.
We're going to see either a lot in the next couple of weeks. This committee will be the most active in the NCOP, right? That covers the land bank issue. So I need a minute. The minutes were circulated. Where is my copy? I'm going to take my copy here. Yeah. Honourable members, the minutes have been circulated. This is quite a while ago. That was our meeting just before we adjourned for the local government elections. The meeting was held on the 25th of May 2016, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Briefing by the Free State, Mpumalanga and Western Cape Provincial Treasuries at the meeting like we had today. Those 3 provinces I put to you on the members page 1. Are you satisfied with page 1? I put you to the committee page 2. And then page 3.
Page 3.
Page 3, yes, Honourable Issa?
Chairperson, yeah, just, is there any feedback on point 7 on page 3 on the resolutions that we took? Has there been any reaction yet from the various provinces?
No, not yet.
If I might ask through you, what is action plan through you with the
secretary? Well, the follow-up has to be done with the specific provinces. The report is going to be drafted now by our committee staff. That draft report will come to us when adopted by this committee, adopted in the NCOP plenary. That report will also go to the provinces. But in terms of the minutes, yes, you are correct that that deadline must be submitted to the secretariat and become part of the minutes as well.
Yes,
not only in the report, but part of the minutes as well.
because you know what you expected was in the one's memory doesn't serve one very well with all these meetings that we have, as you said, it's raining upon us. And sometimes to recollect it's getting somewhat complicated. So the bigger they come through,
yes,
that's for all of us.
It's actually a very important point you're raising because it goes back to the tracking mechanism of a committee on the resolutions that committee took to make the committee more effective, more efficient. So, proposed for adoption of the minutes, proposed by Honorable Moai, seconded by Honorable Esra. Thank you, Honorable Members. Right. Honorable Members received a email and a notice during the last 9.5 weeks, 10 weeks, regarding our study tour. We moved the initial date of the study tour because of the then proposed ASC Lahore. I'm giving you the structure before them. It takes maybe 2 days to get to your destination where you want to be, Mexico City, in Creta. It's on the other side of the globe. It's about 26 hours flying just to get there. And you fly against and with the sun, so it's going to affect your body as well. So, in terms of that, and looking at the financial implication, we said, no, this is not going to work. Because then you would have only spent 2 days at the venue where we want to be, at the Mexican Parliament, meeting with bankers, etc. We then moved it to the 27th of August until the 3rd of September. The application was submitted on the 16th of June. Political approval was given, and the financial application has been submitted as well. We had several engagements with the committee staff. And I'm very concerned about the processes in Parliament when it comes to administration. And I'm not going to beat out the bush. As we sit here today, Honourable Members, we're still waiting for the approval of the financial application that was submitted. I spoke to the CFO of Parliament this morning, Mr. Menendez. I also spoke to Mr. Chabalala. Within 60 minutes, he replied back to me that the Secretary of Parliament has approved the financial application, which is understandable, and is quite an amount of money. So that process we hope to be concluded between today and Friday. See where the cost can still be reduced. The other special point is, until this moment, no appointments have been made in Mexico City because of the financial application not having been approved yet. There's 8 working days left before we're supposed to depart. We're working with professional people on the other side. The governor of their central bank, their leadership in the central bank, as well as in the parliament, also referring to the finance committees and other stakeholders in the society, in the banking fraternity, the financial family, as I call it. I met with the Honorable Moai this morning. So between today and Friday, we will have to take a decision. Because when you make appointments with, say, the governor of a central bank, you don't phone him today and say, I want to see you next Monday. It doesn't work that way. I feel very uncomfortable about it. I make no secret left. I don't hide it. So plan C is, we have to shift this trip that we shifted to the last week of the constituency week. I think it's in October. There's 14 days for the constituency period in September, October, and September, there's 14 days. But we'll keep you on board, because it affects your own personal program as well, etc. We are all human beings, and we are human. So that is the factual report I give to you today. myself and Mr. Intu, myself, Honorable Moai, was keeping on that from today on Friday to just assess the circumstance. Are there any questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your cooperation. Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Remember that to explain the issue of the study, so it's not like the oversight unit to the Western Cape, where Barus only has the direct access to the Premier, to the MEC, the DG, and so on. The issue of the stakeholders, we are doing everything, the ground transport, accommodation, the issue of the stakeholders are doing it through them. And we've been sending them emails. Fundi is part of those emails, she knows. Just to get the quotations for the ground transport in Dina, it took 2 weeks. I've been reminding them to say, on my priority list, number one is the issue of the stakeholders. How far are you in terms of securing these meetings? Up until now, they haven't come back to me. But what is priority number one to them is to say, please give us a confirmation from the CFO to our CFO that you will be paying for accommodation and ground transport. But mine is to say, please tell me how far are you with the issue of the stakeholders. So that's the main issue. Thanks.
I engaged one of the members with Mr. Roy Hoffman. He's the Chief Director of Financial Policy Issues at the National Treasury, who assisted the Standing Committee on Finance on their trip to the United Kingdom last year. He's here tomorrow. I'm meeting with him at 9:30 to see how we can go about this process to make it more successful. So that's National Treasury that's coming into the picture. That's all. Done? Thank you, all the members. That concludes the business of the day. I'll see you again. Thank you.